Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.
Greetings. At first glance, isn't life such an irony? Birth is a happy occasion for us, and yet, every birth leads to the certainty of death. Between these two phenomena, we live a life surrounded by misery, death, illness, old age, disasters, and so on. The Buddha confirms this irony. In fact, it is the question and realization of life as suffering which prompted him to start his journey in search for the truth. By practicing the middle path, he attained enlightenment and shared this wisdom to the world. More than comprehending the meaning of suffering, the Buddha understood and overcame its source. Like himself, Buddha encourages us to question. He does not teach us to accept the problems of the world passively. We are not to attribute all good and evil to one supernatural, and as rational beings, we are not to accept things with blind faith. With doubt comes enlightenment. Without doubt, there will be no enlightenment. It is in questioning that we find the truth, as Buddha himself found the answer to the question of suffering. According to the Buddha, there is a cause for everything. What then is the cause of suffering? Suffering arises because of human desires, greed, selfishness, attachments to worldly materials, and the failure of people to realize that all is but temporal. In short, suffering arises because we allow ourselves to cling on to the very things that drag us to it. When we attach ourselves to material wealth, aren't we in constant fear of being robbed? Aren't we preoccupied with thoughts of where to keep it and how to increase it? Precisely, this fear and worry is causing us to suffer. We have often heard that life is but a dream, a bubble, like magic, here now, gone tomorrow. If we understand that nothing is permanent, that you and I and everything else is temporary, we will free ourselves from this pain, and this understanding of the law of change will propel us to begin our path to better grasp the fundamental realities that govern our cosmos. The law of cause and effect guides the law of change further. Who you are and what you are is a product of all your past thoughts, deeds, and actions. As our song goes, there's a reason behind your birth. So also, there is a reason for all that is. You are not listening to this speech by accident. There is definitely a cause and condition that allow for this situation. Somewhere in the past, an affinity or yin has been established that gave rise to our interaction now. This is more commonly associated with karma. We are in the plane of reality where karma leads us from one life to another. Thus, we experience birth and death repeatedly. You may ask, doesn't this mean the experience of suffering over and over again? What then is the sense of all these? Or how do we end all these hardships and pain? Again, the Buddha teaches us that the road to end all sufferings is by the practice of the Noble Eightfold Path, or by the practice of right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right understanding, and right thoughts. Through this path, we attain true happiness that will ultimately lead us to the pure land where samsara, or the cycle of birth and death, will cease, and where true happiness begins. This is what we call enlightenment. So far, we have been talking about the basic concepts of Buddhism. We have discussed the law of change, cause and effect, karma, and the like. With this brief introduction, we recognize a link that connects science with Buddhism, and we begin to doubt our previously held biases. Isn't Buddhism and science opposed to each other? Isn't it that one essentially negates the other? Well, unlike many belief structures that often come in conflict with scientific breakthroughs, Buddhism takes a very logical and scientific approach in its teachings. The fact is that Buddhist principles are constantly affirmed by new scientific discoveries, and both frequently complement each other. Some examples of these are found in our song, Science and Buddhism. These truths expounded by the Buddha 2,500 years ago are only beginning to come to scientific light. One such example is the quantum theory, which science has only recently been able to verify. Buddha has already disclosed this theory on his discourses about the law of change during his earthly life. From the physical matter of interest to physics, unto the complicated study of the human mind and behavior of psychology, Buddhism has proven time and again the veracity of its teachings. Many thoughts, ideas, and principles from Buddhist tenets remain incomparable by modern science. This thought ought to humble the arrogant mind of man. It ought to remind us of how limited our perceptions are. Despite our scientific knowledge and worldly achievements, we should remember that there are still a lot which the human eye cannot perceive, and which the ordinary human mind cannot comprehend. It is often said that man is gifted with 5 sense organs: the eye that houses the consciousness of sight, the ear that houses the consciousness of sound, the nose as house of the consciousness of smell, the tongue that houses the consciousness of taste, and finally, the body that houses the consciousness of touch. In addition to these, there is a 6th consciousness, the mind consciousness, or thought sense. Buddhism teaches us still of 3 other higher consciousnesses, which are beyond the scope of this talk. Nevertheless, we encourage our listeners to learn about them. These gifts help us perceive the internal and external world around us. But they must not blind us. Although the gifts of the senses are so powerful to the extent that they seem boundless, we must never forget that they do have limitations. What and how we see the world is only as wide as the perception of our senses. That is why it is important to discipline ourselves in the practice of Buddhism through meditation. Because meditation stills both mind and body and awakens our senses to the real meaning of existence. It is the closed mind of a person that makes him arrogant, while it is the enlightened mind that cultivates compassion. Compassion that understands the narrow outlook of the arrogant man, and compassion that stirs a desire to draw these people into the wisdom of understanding the many possibilities of existence. At this point, we will elaborate a bit on the meaning of compassion as differentiated from attachment or love. Where there is attachment, there is the inclination to possess, to cling, and thereby be selfish. And where there is attachment, the concept of self is reinforced. This self will eventually bring us to passion for worldly materials and a clinging to life at all cost. As a great teacher and philanthropist Dr. C.T. Shen puts it in his book The Mayflower, quote, "One cannot achieve enlightenment and identify with original nature without first achieving the realization that the concept of self is not only an invalid concept, but also a dangerous concept. Because with the concept of self, the concept of that is mine is established, and then the attachment of both self and that is mine becomes firmly planted in one's mind. In this way, one can never achieve enlightenment and be rid of samsara, which is the source of suffering. Unquote. Thus, attachment implants in our hearts the madness of self-interest. Clearly, it is not possible for one to cultivate compassion when he is beset with these ideas of greed and self-indulgence. The effect of man's collective greed is now very much felt in our world, where ecological imbalance is one of man's principal problems. This is in addition to the problems of nuclear power, wars, worldwide economic depression, and others. Man already feels helpless in the face of all these problems which he himself has created. All these are the effects of selfishness and lack of compassion. What then is compassion? Compassion is the noble character of the good man which disturbs him and makes his whole being quiver at the anguish of others. It exists only in the self-sacrificing man, who practices self-denial and whose heart overflows with pure thoughts of pity and hopes to help and serve others. This heart leads him to the pure land through acts of kindness, non-violence, and non-killing. This is the same quality of kindness and non-violence as that practiced by the vegetarian. The true vegetarian is a reflection of a compassionate man, because his good heart is not only limited to humans, but to all beings as reflected by his principle of non-killing. However, care must be taken in equating compassion with vegetarianism. One does not necessarily point to the other. We must examine the intentions. More and more people are changing their lifestyle and becoming vegetarian. Is it really because of compassion, for health reasons, or because it is fashionable? It is true that in recent years, science has discovered the good benefits of vegetarianism. But let this not be the reason. Let us keep in our hearts the compassionate quality of caring for other beings as our motive, and let the good health that follows be a result of our compassion. More than this, let compassion guide us in everything we do, so that little by little we come closer to enlightenment, where all our sufferings will cease. Surely, you will see that our discussion has brought us back full circle to where we started. But now, we see life with a whole new perspective. We have learned to experience suffering from a positive point of view. Life is not only suffering. Death is not a road to eternal damnation. On the other hand, each problem is an opportunity for us to practice self-control, a chance to overcome our weakness and make us stronger, so that we will not be overwhelmed in the face of pain or death. Every obstacle is an awakening to mindfulness. Each death a way to a new awareness and new birth. And every new birth, a new life bringing hope and a lifetime chance to practice our compassionate heart. With this, we hope that everyone would have gained a little insight and wisdom about Buddha's path to liberation. Join us and let us walk hand in hand, sharing this wisdom with our friends in our journey towards learning and enlightenment. Peace and wisdom be with you. Thank you and have a good day. Amitabha Buddha.